I really like that translation, by the way. Thank you for that. Yes. So before we come to study God's Word, let us ask our living God for His help to understand and also transform by it. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your holy words. As we study your words, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand the passage and help us to receive it with faith and love, so that we may be changed and also transformed by it. As I'm teaching your word, Lord, help me to be clear, help me to be bold, and help me to be faithful and true to your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm from Korea, you probably noticed that. So my friends quite often ask me, where is a good Korean restaurant in Sydney? So whenever I have these kinds of questions, it is very hard for me to just say one specific restaurant. This is because I have tried many Korean restaurants in Sydney, and they all have different good things and features. For example, one of them always provides free soup as an entree, which is so delicious, so I have to mention that one. And there's another one which offers enormous portions beyond my expectation, so I'm compelled to mention that one. And there's another one which cooks the best kimchi in town, so it's very good for me to mention that one as well. So I normally end up giving my friends not just one option, but many options for a good Korean restaurant. However, unlike me, when people ask David where we should go to be free from the guilt of our sin, David did not give them one option, but David did not give them many options, but he only gave them one option. He said, the only way to be forgiven and to be free from the guilt of our sin is to acknowledge and confess our sin before God. As David says in verse 5, saying, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. In this verse, we can see that David acknowledged his sin before God. And he did it because there's nothing that he can do about it but to bring it before God. And indeed, as David confessed his sin to God, he was completely forgiven, and his relationship with God was absolutely restored. And David says, this blessing and joy of forgiveness is not only for him, but it is available for everyone. So he says, everyone who comes before God to confess their sin is blessed, because God will forgive their sin completely, perfectly, and eternally. As David says in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And here, please notice that David used different words to describe God's forgiveness for his people. He used the words forgiven in verse 1 to show that God himself bears and takes away the burden of their sin. And he also used the word covered to indicate that God puts their sin out of his sight, so he will never bring it up again for judgment. And in verse 2, David used the words not count, which means God erases their sin and does not record or remember it. And this reminds of what David says in Psalm 103, saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. So David confidently tells his readers, like you and me, by sharing his own experience, that as they confess and acknowledge their sin to God, God will forgive their sin. God will never judge them again, and God will never remember their sin. Yet, please notice that in verse 3, there was a time when David did not confess his sin to God, but rather he kept silent about it. As it says in verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. And here we are not told why he kept silent, so we are not sure about the exact situation. But here we are told that David was in great pain. Most likely he was in pain because he was feeling guilty about his sin. And we can imagine the longer he kept silent about his sin, the greater his intense pain was. Because by himself, he can do nothing about it. So David says at that time, he was in such agony, groaning and suffering all day long. However, God does not want David to be in intense pain because of sin, but rather he wants David to be free from his sin. So out of love, God was pounding David's heart to break his silence so that he can confess his sin before God. As it says in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Here, out of grace, God was laying his hand heavily on David to stop him rationalizing, justifying, and making many excuses about his sin. Here, out of mercy, God was stirring David's heart to stop being silent about his sin, but to trust him and confess his sin before him so that God can take away guilt of his sin forever. And this applies to us. Sometimes, when we keep silent about our sin, God, out of love, mercy, and also grace, pounds our hearts to break our silence. God does this not because he doesn't like us, nor because he wants to punish us, but rather, he loves us and he wants to forgive our sin. He stirs our heart because he wants us to come before him to confess our sin so that we can be forgiven by him completely, perfectly, and eternally. A couple of years ago, my wife Sue and I went to Melbourne for a holiday, and we were looking forward to having great coffee and cakes, as we had heard that Melbourne coffee is really special. However, when we ordered a flat white takeaway coffee in Melbourne, we couldn't taste any difference between our coffee in Sydney and Melbourne, so we felt like it was just the same coffee. But Sue and I didn't give up. The very next day, we woke up early in the morning and searched on the internet for good coffee, and we found a cafe that was rated 4.7 out of 5. So we went there immediately and we ordered a flat white coffee and we tasted it and it was absolutely special. And we were really happy that we had found the right cafe for Melbourne coffee. And throughout this, Sue and I realized that indeed there is a better cafe for better coffee. This means sometimes we have to find the right cafe to have good coffee. However, for sin, there is no better place to deal with it. There is only one God who can forgive and set us free from the guilt of our sin completely, perfectly, and eternally. So in today's passage, David is compelling us, like you and me, to stop being silent about our sin, but to bring it before God so that we can all have the same joy and blessing of God's forgiveness. Yet, please notice that David is not only compelling us to confess our sin to God, but he's also urging us to rejoice in the Lord. This is shown in verse 11, as it says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, seeing all who you are upright in heart. Here in verse 11, David compels all God's people to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And he explains why we should do that throughout verses 6 to 10. In verse 7, David shows that we should rejoice in the Lord because we can find refuge in God. Please remember that in verses 3 to 4, David used to silent before God. He used to hide from God, and he used to fear God as his judge. But now he is hiding in God. Now he's taking refuge in him. And like David, we as God's people, we don't have to run from God anymore because of our sin, but now we can run to him and be assured that we are safe in him. As it says in verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." And in verse 8, we can see another reason to rejoice in the Lord, as it shows the promise of God, that God will always instruct, teach, counsel, and watch over his people. Verse 8 is a direct quote from God, and God will guide the forgiven sinner into the way of righteousness. As God says in verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." And David rejoices in this because he doesn't want to repeat the same sin and fall into the same error, but wants to live a new righteous life. And he knows that he can't do that unless God helps him. And like David, we can't walk in the way of the righteous unless God helps us. So we should rejoice in this promise that the Lord will spiritually and morally guide us. God is not going to leave us after he forgives us, but he will continually guide us as his holy people. And finally, David is urging us to rejoice in the Lord for God's unfailing love. As it says in verse 10, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him." In this verse, the Lord's unfailing love refers to God's unconditional commitment to those who trust in him. God promised that he will never forsake nor abandon his people. He will always be with them. So God did not forsake nor abandon David when he committed a sin. But God continued to love David genuinely and provide a way for him to be forgiven. So David rejoiced in the Lord and gave all the credit to God alone, because he became righteous, not because he deserved it, but because of God's unfailing love. When I'm doing cafe ministry at my church in Mossman, a little girl named Sophie comes to our cafe every week. And she's about 2 years old, and sometimes she wants to have hot chocolate, and other time, she wants to have a baby chino. So one day, I asked her, "Would you like to have hot chocolate?" And she said, "Yes." And just to confirm that she really wants to have hot chocolate, I also asked her, "Would you like to have a baby chino?" And I was expecting her to say no, but she said, "Yes." So I was confused. So I asked her again, "Would you like to have hot chocolate?" And she said, "Yes." And I repeated the question, "Would you like to have a baby chino?" And she said, "Yes." Then I realized that she doesn't know how to say no. She can only say yes. And like Sophie, David wants us to say only yes when he compels us to rejoice in the Lord, because you and I are righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of God's unfailing love. So as we are reminded that we are righteous, we are upright in heart, not because of what we have achieved, but because of God's amazing love that is perfectly expressed in our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ, we can never say no, but we should always say yes to rejoice in the Lord. So as David suggested, let us rejoice in the Lord for God's unfailing love for his people like you and me. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your grace and love for us. And we give you thanks as we confess our sin. You always forgive our sin completely, perfectly, and eternally. So, Father, help us to not be silent about our sin, but to bring it before you. And also, help us to always rejoice in you, in knowing that we became righteous only because of your unfailing love in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.